and welcome back to Supercoach Edge. Well, Liam, the much-anticipated opening round has come and gone, and it really doesn't feel like the season has actually begun, given the traditional season kickoff game in Carlton v Richmond doesn't start until this Thursday. It's really a weird feeling, and maybe it's to do with round zero, numerically not really making any sense. Are we going to start awarding platinum medals at the Olympics for those that finish in zero place? Now, Liam, are the AFL ahead of the game? Are they ahead of themselves?
No.
Do you like that idea?
No, it's a shit idea. I'm going to be straightforward.
How's it going to work? With the three platforms? It's going to be four platforms. So, you know, it's like tiered. You know, it's like the person who's like in first place, above the silver medalist and bronze. Platinum's what? Just hovering?
Just a ladder at the back.
On the shoulders of the person that finished first. But there's zero.
Did you also see that I think it's AFL Tables has just disregarded round zero? That is not, they're just refusing to call it round zero. They're just like, it's round one. Doesn't make sense. Round zero doesn't make sense. And I'm like, I'm here for the
database.
Pettiness.
Yeah.
I am here for the pettiness.
it's so true though, because I look at a lot of those things are built in like databases. It's like it's a set design.
Yeah.
So again, why would you want to go in and just change it just for one year? Because this may only happen, hopefully, it only, fingers crossed, only happens for this year alone and never again see this a lot of day like AFLX. But yeah, I do agree with that pettiness because I would be exactly the same.
But like, okay, I can accept a opening round if every team played, but then it's just round one.
Exactly.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And it's like gather round.
Yeah.
Just the game do like concentrating like, on the northern coast.
Yeah, even if you just do the opposite, like not opposite, but like there's just no games in Vic. Mm. Or like, you know, like play games in Tassie, play games, you know, interstate. Maybe it works. Like it goes around the country, but I don't know. I just don't think you can play with half the sides. Not even half the sides.
It literally felt like an extension of the preseason.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but like it was like Sunday game. There wasn't a game on Sunday. There
was
NRL on Sunday.
And why would you leave?
AFL, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're trying to build it up. And then you just give them, like, there's empty space anyway. Seriously. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, we could talk about it for a fair while. But that's just thought we'd mention it just for the lols, just because the AFL do some absolutely hilarious things. And this is the second hilarious thing they've done since AFLX. There's been a whole host of things, but this is right up there.
I don't know, AFLX. It's going to have another whinge about opening round and the buys.
Mm-hmm.
It also, like, so round four is gather round. So half the teams that have played have their buy before gather round, and then there's no teams having a buy because it's gather round and they want every team playing, and then teams have buys the week after. It's just, sorry, the whole thing is a mess. It annoys me so much.
That's amazing. Fixturing, isn't it? Just, it makes no sense. It would have made more sense had they been able to make this gather round, but I think because they signed a deal with Adelaide, for what is it, 3-4 years?
It was 4 years or something.
They've then retrospectively worked out, oh, wait, maybe we shouldn't have done that because we could have turned this into like an ongoing thing. Like, you know, opening round is gather round, and everyone plays up the coast. Instead of staggering the season start and then half the teams have bloody a bye and other teams don't. It's just, and again, equalisation, fairness, teams that are match hardened that have played in round zero, all that sort of stuff. It'd be amazing to see as well, because it has been the case with the late season byes where teams that are coming out of a bye are kind of been a little bit more often than not, you know, behind the eight ball and lose.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
What the go is here, but there are a few teams. I mean, Richmond, Carlton, both played round zero, so it will be a draw. Hopefully not, because that happened last year. I think there's other teams as well. Collingwood, Sydney played, but Melbourne, Bulldogs didn't. So, interesting to see what happens.
Interesting to see how it all plays out. But
round zero, this is what we're here for, Liam, unfortunately. We're
here to recap it, aren't we? Yes, we are going to recap it and highlight, I guess, the key takeaways. There is some positives that have come out of round zero, I think, in that we get to see some players an extra time and I guess with actual scoring happening, we get some, new break evens and a bit of insight into which players we can pick. So we will be chatting about which players put themselves back on the radar for a starting spot in our teams. And also those that have put in a stinker in the first match and making us question them and maybe fading them potentially. Before we do get stuck into things, of course, if you're not following us across our socials, you can find us on YouTube and just search Supercoach Edge. And please don't forget to subscribe to be notified when our content does drop from week to week during the season. On Twitter at @Supercoach_Edge, Damon at @DamonJ88, myself at @Liam_Evans_95, and on Facebook and Instagram, just search Supercoach Edge and you'll find us there.
Very good. Well, round zero. So now, of course, from the round zero or opening round, whatever you want to call it, dickhead round, obviously won't count towards the overall score total. What we will be factoring into the discussion here throughout the episode is these round zero scores will impact the starting prices a week earlier than the non-round zero players that have played. Excluding, of course, Carlton and Brisbane players who have the bye in round two. So they will have only played opening round and round one at that stage. And whose prices will therefore alter in line with other players whose first games will be occurring in the upcoming round one, as it should normally happen. But Liam, without further ado, let's kick it off with the first game between Sydney and Melbourne.
So in terms of the most notable Supercoach relevant players for the Swans in that first game. To kick things off, we do have Isaac Heaney. I don't want to talk about him. 483.7K. The ultimate burn man. The ultimate. So much of a burn man that I actually don't talk about him. Like I don't even see him in the app because you just don't need to.
Yeah.
Forward eligible, obviously. 144 was his Supercoach score, and of course now his name's in big lights at the top of the app. Scored 144, as we said, and was given 58% CBAs after being called upon to jump into the engine room with the lack of depth following the loss of Parker and Adams due to injury, and Mills obviously as well. Largely looked good as well with 26 disposals, 18 contested, 5 marks, 7 tackles and 1 goal with 619 metres gained, which was the second most for the match.
You're talking me into him.
I'm talking myself into him. The age-old question does remain, though. Can we trust Heaney? And if we can, does it only last as long as Adams and Parker are out, whereupon he'll be thrust straight back into that forward line? Or could he be switched forward more often, earlier, due to the reliance on him as a scoring option? One thing we have learned across the journey is that Horse simply cannot be trusted. He's like, I want to say third on the list of he who shall not be named.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that. We're sharing the same brain as we said the other day. We're on the same wavelength. I was about to say that man's name, but I thought I cannot because he's one of he who shall not be named.
Yeah.
And he's right up there as well.
Yeah, 100%. He is actually. But with 144 on his rolling average, he could be in for some nice price rise, for at least one nice price rise at a minimum. But keep in mind, it's only going to be in his 3-week rolling average for the one price cycle. So if he tanks it in one or both of the next 2 weeks, the dollar advantage could be null and void.
Dollar bills, yo. But the dollar bills is one thing that is actually attracting me. Like, you know, the tactics around, you know, round zero, getting a sneak peek, obviously seeing how he scored, seeing the role. If Jackson didn't throw his hand up in light of Darcy's injury, I would be very keen to jump on the Heen train for the pure fact that he's going to go up in price. However, he does have an early buy, whereas Jackson doesn't.
And the same
comparing those two.
And with Heaney, he's going to share a buy with Dacos, Grundy, Jordan, like Roberts as well, now that we're all sort of looking at as well. Yeah. Like, he's sharing a buy with four other players that, I mean, I know it's still best 18. I do like him. The other issue that I see, not other issue, but the other thing to consider is, does he finish as a top forward? Like, just purely on the lack of forwards that we do have. I mean, he averaged 86.5 last season. If he gets it up to 90, 95, he's a top forward and you're starting him for 483. It's just hard. Is this the lowest price he'll be all season? I mean, he could also get injured, let's be honest.
Yeah. Traditionally, he's actually been able to average all right despite playing more of that forward. Stay-at-home forward, if not, you know, high half forward. So, I mean, I have a feeling that maybe he will be in the top six ranked players. Like Heaney, 2023, 86.5, 2022, 101.2, 2021, 83.5, 2020, 94. You can go back further, but I think there's enough there to show that, yes, maybe he will be a top six going forward. You know, even so, like he's going to be, 60K cheaper than Luke Jackson, who could also be a top six forward. Is it worthwhile going for the cheaper Isaac Heaney, knowing that he's going to jump up most likely in price if he scores okay in the next couple of rounds for his first price rise? I was just going to say, like, the one thing I'd be using him for is, you know, the tactic of, you know, riding a player early on and then trading them when they're on the buy. Or training a player that's coming off the buy. Like, could he potentially be a bit of a ticket to a Tom Green, for example? Like, if you don't start Tom Green, if you've got some extra cash in the bank, mind you, which you'd probably need because he's not going to go up in price enough to sort of be around that Tom Green range. But could you start Isaac Heaney, ride him as long as possible? Tom Green goes into his buy. And if he's riding high and it looks like he's going to bloody skyrocket, you know, you could jump across to a genuine Uber primo from, you know, someone who's a sort of a on the cusp of being a primo potentially, or at least in forwards discussions anyway.
I think as well with forwards, we'll probably have a top. This is probably slightly crystal ball prediction here. I think we'll have, I mean, obviously there's going to be a top six because that's how it works. There's going to be six players who have the highest average or the highest total points in the forwards. But I think you'll probably find that it's less, like there's less variance. So like there might be a greater number, like there might be 10 players who are all around that same average, because we're going to get more genuine forwards being, you know, our forwards, for want of a better way of wording that. So like we're not getting the mid forwards that we did have last year where we're going to get, you know, players averaging 110, 120. We might only get players averaging 90, but we'll get more of them averaging around that 90.
More competition.
95, so more competition. So it's less concerning if you're not picking the actual top six. Because you're probably still getting the same or the right players. So one thing you could even consider, like Flanders is 10K more expensive than Heaney. Could you start Heaney, get his price rise in the first couple of rounds? Then Flanders has his buy in round three, I think.
Three, yeah, because he gets a
rise. Yeah. So Flanders will have a price rise, then have his buy. Then you trade him to Heaney to him potentially, because Flanders looks more likely to be that mid forward. Well, he's a mid forward, but you know, be more that midfielder that we get as a forward. And has that price.
And he's probably the one player I think that I'd be most confident in being, from what we've seen anyway. Like he's playing the same role. He's getting the same amount of CBAs as last year in the back part of the year anyway. When Flanders was scoring well, so I'm probably most confident in him being in the top six forwards out of the lot and probably averaging around about the most, dependent upon Jackson and Darcy's injury and everything else. But we can probably chat about Heaney for days.
That's not
probably a good time to move on. And if anyone has any questions in relation to Heaney specifically, let us know. Hit us up in the comment section below on YouTube here or via socials. But only thing to end on with Heaney is his break even, which in the Supercoach app now, I think they have updated the break evens now. And I think it was 29. Yes, 29 is his break even. So it's getting right down there. Has another big score. It's going to drop down even further. And yeah, the chances of him making some bulk cash, sort of short term, would be very, very tasty. Jeez, what am I doing? Talking ourselves into Heaney.
But you talked me right into him. Like, just get the app up. Gonna make some changes.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to his teammate, who a lot of people jumped off him, surprisingly. Again, we've said don't read too much into the preseason. It's a sample size of one. He was a senior player being rested, Brody Grundy. So he came out and absolutely smashed it in round zero. 481.9K he's priced at. Juicy price. 139 points he scored off the cuff. And absolutely made light work of his old teammate in Max Gawn. Isn't it funny? It was kind of like the start of the game, Max Gawn started like a house on fire. Yeah. Grundy was a little bit slow. And then it just completely changed, flipped on its head. Was crazy stuff. But as I said, people were fooled by the limited game time and the practice game, all that sort of stuff. So people are jumping back on. And I feel as though that's kind of been the theme of round zero. Flanders is another one as well, who we'll speak of in the Gold Coast game. But with Grundy, he just reminded us of his potency. When he's rucking solo, which we spoke about all preseason in the ruck episode, all that sort of stuff. We compared the numbers of when he was rucking solo compared to when he was rucking alongside Gawn and the like, yeah. Cox when he was at, and Darcy Cameron when he was at Collingwood. And round zero, he had 72% ruck contest that he attended. So again, hands down, solo ruck. All I can say to this is just lock and load. Liam, are you in the same boat?
Yep, definitely. Grundy is lock and load for me.
Done and done.
Don't have anything else to say about him. Let's move on. James Jordan, 275.5K, mid forward as well. I don't know who I'm saying as well as, because there's not been a single mid forward at this stage. but he is
preempting it.
Yes, I'm preempting. There's going to be some more we're going to talk about. Scored the 81 points from 18 disposals, 3 marks, 7 tackles, and 21% CBAs roaming through the center along the wings. Showed enough to warrant selection, I think, and the score of 81 will kickstart what should be some nice cash gen to come over the course of the season. He did start a bit slow in that game. I can't remember what he was on. He wasn't looking good early. No. And I thought he'd be one we'd all be jumping off, but pulled it back. He was playing a bit more high half forward as well, I think. At that time, and they were just not getting the ball to him. I think he was getting into good positions, but just not sort of like they were missing him as a target. But pulled it back. 81 points, not bad, not bad. So again, lock and load. I think you can rest assured that he'll be a decent starter.
Let's get the old prop out again. Got the old lock. So that is a lock, and he is loaded into our team. So next up we have Errol Goulden.
My boy.
Your boy. Your boy indeed.
I'm disappointed in my boy.
Yep, I had him in my team. He was a late entrant. But still have confidence in him. Going to bounce back. But this game, round zero, only scored 77 Supercoach points. So he struggled largely due to a woeful disposal efficiency. Very un-Goulden-like game. Very un-Errol-like game. Disposal efficiency of 55%. And this subpar score will likely see his price fall upon playing his third game, given his break-even, is now 146. Mammoth.
Mate, what are you doing? Yeah,
so he's virtually gone from a potential starter, you know, alongside the likes of a Tom Green, Bont, you know, next-tier type superstar, to now almost like a confirmed fade, as we'll most likely be able to pick him up cheaper. So he's going to be in our team, nonetheless, but to get him, I think it's a bit of a silver lining, to be able to get him at potentially a sub 600K price, he's going to be ultra juicy. You know, similar price point potentially to a Katuki Miller, around about that mark. So, yeah, we'll wait and see. But fingers crossed that does happen. So we'll be sitting there with a bit of napkin, you know, draped around our necks, knives and forks in hand, drooling like we're about to eat him. Yes.
Yes, I'm looking at Supercoach Gold to see what his
Oh, what are the
price would be,
projections?
but I don't. I think I'm going to disregard it because it's
I
not
don't think
quite.
it's factored in
No, I don't think it's
around
factored in
zero.
around zero
No.
because it's got him going up in price.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to the next guy, and it is Matty Roberts, 156.8K. He is mid-eligible rookie. I guess you, oh yeah, 156K. He's definitely priced. Scored a 76 in that first matchup. But most impressively, his role is very solid, patrolling defense and through the middle. Nice little surprise was the fact that he took the most kick-ins for Sydney as well, with five, and played on from all of them. That a boy. That's what I like to
Oh, what a
see.
gun. What a
That's what
gun.
I like to see.
Pat on the head for
Yeah,
him.
exactly. Give him a big gold star.
Good boy. Good boy. Give him a bone. Give him a Scooby snack.
Oh, now he also has a break even of minus 20, and that will make us bulk cash. Get him in lock and load again.
Very good. That's the one good takeaway from round zero is that it's confirmed all these rookies
Yeah, the
that
rookie, it's
are
really
going to
helped
make
our
us some early
rookies.
cash.
Yeah. And a week earlier than most
Exactly.
others, which is nice.
Yeah, so it might be something that we'll have a chat about next week, potentially,
Yes.
because we have to start factoring in when we start downgrading and upgrading. That's pretty early, two rounds, three rounds into the season.
But
So,
with 40 trades, gotta do it
yeah, why
early.
not? Why not?
Just sideways. Sideways, Everyone.
Sideways, everyone. No, don't do that. Let's move on to the next, Melbourne. So Blake Howes, have to mention him first up. So 123.9K defender and absolutely came from the clouds. 91 points he scored. Complete surprise packet from opening round and heads into round one with a break even now of just negative 46. So again, when we're talking about next week, of course, cash cows and all that sort of stuff, we'll be
Yep.
able to project forward as to how much this guy could potentially make and at what point we could potentially, go down to the old, cash converters, the old pawn shop, not that pawn shop, Liam. I know what you're thinking. And pawn him off,
I was
sell him to
going
the
a
highest
very
bidder.
different way when you were talking about a cash cow and you were like, I'm going to take you down to the old abattoir.
The old slaughterhouse, yeah, lop off his head. I don't know what they do there. I don't want to know. Hopefully it's humane, whatever it is, quick. And we'll make it quick, Blakey. I was, don't worry. We'll make it quick and painless. We shouldn't be mentioning this because we're in the, it could be vegans and stuff tuning in
Yes, that is
and
very
we
true.
jest. And we're both animal lovers as well. So we don't
Yes,
want to be talking about
very
that.
true.
But Blakey, he is more than an animal. So yeah, well, once we actually lop his head off, there's going to be cash spilling out everywhere. From old Blake Howes.
Literally the cash
Now he
cow.
turns into like a bag of cash that he just transforms into.
Yes, that is
He's going to be
it.
Scrooge McDuck swimming in his.
Swimming in his little gold coins.
Yeah, exactly. Which would hurt. I still have no idea how he does it.
Swims in gold coins.
Like jumping off a diving board into a pool of coins would be like smashing your face into like concrete
It's
or
a
just.
cartoon. That's how he does it.
We all can't be cartoons and do it because it looks like so much fun.
I just bought a giant room full of gold coins and I'm gonna dive into it like Scrooge McDuck. Ah! It's not a liquid! It's a great many pieces of solid matter that form a hard floor-like surface! Ah!
Come play cow again. We've gone off on tangents. It's not even an official episode, it's just the bloody round zero review. What are we doing? But a bigger bonus with Blake Howes is he even has more job security off the back of Jake Bowie injuring his shoulder, collarbone, and will be out for a number of weeks. So he's locked and loaded in Melbourne's team. And off the back of that, he's locked and loaded in all of our Supercoach teams. And if he's not, get him in because he's the must-have cash cow at this stage of the season.
Yep, agreed. Agreed entirely. Now let's move on to the big bearded one in a Max Gawn, 583.7K, obviously ruck eligible. Bit of a disappointing first up score with just 72 points. Started well, and then as we said, like reverse grundied, faded as the game wore on, looking a little bit battered after the Swans physically put work into him, a bit tired at the end of the game. Regardless, Gawn is too proud of a player to not bounce back from this. Nothing serious to worry about. Roll is there, obviously, having shouldered 85% of the ruck. I think this is also what we've seen in years gone by. Ruck Gorn has a shit score in the first round. We all get scared. Everyone jumps off him. Everyone trades him. And then he bounces back with like a 170. And everyone's like,
The
oh, I should have
sky is
traded him.
falling. Oh my God. Oh no.
So, yeah, I don't think there's any reason to jump off Max Gorn at this stage.
100% locked and loaded. But if anyone that wants to jump off him, you're going to be less competition for us. So do your best or do your worst in this case.
Or jump off him to Tim English. That's probably the only player that I'd consider. Like, if you've somehow found cash to do that, which I don't know how you would, but if you could, that's probably the only way. And that's not to say that Gorn's bad, it's just that Tim English is.
He's a pod
Well,
in
he is
comparison.
compared to Gorn.
And he's probably next tier.
Yeah, next tier. Bit more sure.
Less risk compared to like
But you're
a
paying.
cherry Zeri.
Yeah, and you're paying for that. But yeah, a
That's
bit of a
exactly right.
pod.
Nope, don't mind that. Don't mind that. Well, rounding us out for this game is the youngster in Caleb Windsor, priced 180.3K as a mid forward. And I must admit, like he scored 58 Supercoach points, but looked a little bit out of his depth at times with the speed of the game, almost looking like it frazzled him. Looked okay in patches, but 61% disposal efficiency tells the tale. Rush disposals under pressure and not really as clean as what he's renowned for. And the worry really now, I think, for me, that comes to mind is watching the game is that he potentially falls into sub territory, maybe to help him adjust to the speed of senior level. The D's, as we know, they did that in round zero with Laurie, who was another potential cash cow option, which is off the table now. So could they do it with Windsor if Laurie's not in the team? Even more so. Again, I think he was all right. It looked all right on across the preseason. The D's obviously rate him. So I still think he's an option, but it probably comes down to your structure more than anything.
If you can find a cheaper option, potentially that makes more sense to go towards. It's got similar job security. I think I'm not too worried. I don't think the conditions suited him. Like it
Yeah,
was a bit
true.
of a dewy game, bit wet. Not wet, but just dewy. So maybe that kind of
Stewie.
affected him. So yeah, I'm not too worried about him. I'm probably still starting him. Easy to go, like easy to correct from a 180K rookie because you can pretty much go down to anyone. You're not having to find cash to get up to him, if that makes sense. So not too worried. I'd be starting him unless, unless he is obviously the sub. But let's move on to the next bloke in Brisbane. Oh, next game, sorry, Brisbane up against Carlton. We have, love this, Jared Lyons, 258K, mid eligible, 106. It was his Supercoach score on the weekend. He has shown in the past that he can score well, but in recent times, the opportunity just hasn't been there with the Lions opting for youth. With Dev Robertson on the verge of returning to the side as well, could Lyons be the first to make his way out? He also has been a big sub candidate, so just can't be trusted, especially with cheaper and more reliable alternative cash cows around. I mean, I don't think, I can't imagine he gets dropped after that, like what he did on the weekend. Like he played pretty well, but they also lost. Like if they'd won, I feel like I'd feel more safe. But he could be one that,
The scapegoat is what
not
comes to
not
mind.
that I think he's done anything wrong, but
No.
just like you need to make some changes. He's an easy one to drop.
I think his lack of speed is something that's quite notable, and I mean, this is probably as reliable as Wikipedia, but like Big Footy. Their Brisbane Forum, they're talking about like ins and outs changes for the round one team for Brisbane. And I reckon every single post was saying drop Jared Lyons. And I mean, I was obviously there. I was lucky enough to be there with the wife and her dad, my father-in-law, and all massive Baggers fans. And I will tell you this, but at quarter time, I was like, this is an absolute shit show. This is like reminiscent of like the first part of our season that just went down the gurgler. And then somehow he bloody turned it around. And we did that. Like we virtually had the 2023 season in one game, like absolutely insane. But I must admit, Jared Lyons, seeing him alive, I thought, oh, he was actually one of the guys that stood up was putting his head over the ball, all that sort of stuff, which contested work for him is his bread and butter. But maybe it's true. Maybe it's like the fact that they need a bit of a speed, all that sort of stuff, which Dev Robertson could potentially provide. And I think by all accounts, he's pretty fit and fit enough to return to the team. So someone's going to have to make way in the engine room for the Lions. So maybe, you know, he has been the scapegoat in the past. He's been a big, big sub risk in season gone past as well. So Lions from the Lions, I think if we were struggling for options, cash cow options, especially at a high price point, you could maybe go for it. But we're absolutely flush with options here. Matt Roberts, as we spoke of, 100K cheaper than Jared Lyons, so on and so forth. Jai Clark, even Jack Carroll, who we'll speak of in a moment from Carlton. There's other options. So we're not forced down that path of Jared Lyons from the Lions.
Exactly. Well, then,
let's jump into the next guy, and it is Kai Loman, another youngster, cash cow potentially. 150.9K price stat. He's a forward, and he only scored a 33 in the game. However, it was due to the fact that he did start as a sub and came on to virtually play the second half after Coleman unfortunately went down injured with his ACL. All the best to him, of course, but seemingly played as a high half forward. So interesting role. Hard to gauge really on limited time on ground, of course. You know, unsettled job security probably is one thing to read out of that being the starting sub. I was actually surprised because I thought going into the game they might have used Jared Lyons as a sub, or at least even, you know, sub off Jared Lyons, which is probably, I reckon, that what they might have done because Jared Lyons, as I said, very slow. Kyle Loman might be able to inject him into the midfield or at least shuffle some deck chairs around. But I think nonetheless, starting as a sub, Loman doesn't fill me with confidence at that price tag where there's other cash cows available that scored more, have more job security and scoring potential.
Yeah, agreed. Bypassing, can't see the appeal. 150K and only scored 33 as the sub. From, you know, I mean, I know limited time on ground, but yeah, just not good job security there. Move past him. Now onto the other side of the field, and we have Zach Williams, 216.1K, defender eligible. Scored the 73 and well and truly passed with flying colours. He got through unscathed and he posted a decent enough score to warrant selection in our starting sides. Took the equal second most kick-ins also for a nice bit of bonus, playing on from all three. Again, attaboy. That's what I want to see.
Attaboy.
Looks to be back in the same role he had in 2022 prior to getting injured, with freedom to roam, run and carry and use. Just this Zach kicking, like, just opened the field up, which was good. So should make us plenty of cash. So fingers crossed he can stay fit long enough. I definitely jumped off him purely because I wasn't sure if he would be playing. Just with the fact that he wasn't playing in the preseason games, named in round zero, he's back in my side. Just for everyone to know.
Yep. I'm 100% the same as well. Only reason he went out of my side was in my side for the entire preseason. I was shuffling deck chairs and took him out to bring Howes in during round zero, and then realized, oh, wait, what am I doing? I've got to shuffle some deck chairs around and try and get Williams back in. So similar to what we spoke about in the defender rookie episode, where pinpointed back in 2022 when Williams last played his first, I think it was five games of the season, potentially, then got injured. And he was actually taking the most kick-ins for Carlton. So again, for him to be up there, equal second most for kick-ins in this game, again, just rings true to the confidence that the coaching staff has in him to, you know, use his foot skills to get the ball out of defence. So good to see. And yeah, fingers crossed, as he said, that he stays fit because he's going to make us a nice bit of coin and also provide some nice scores on field like he did or like he would have if the scores counted, of course, in round zero.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the last player that's notable out of this game, and it is Jack Carroll, rookie for Carlton, 123.9K as a midfielder and scored 65 points. So he came on in quarter three as a sub for the injured Doc. Again, just shit news for poor Doherty. So really thoughts go out to him. I think it's his third ACL now. He's battled with cancer. Like, the bloke's been through the ringer. Hopefully he can come back because I wouldn't hold it against him, Supercoach chat aside, that he actually just hangs up the boots I think he's just had a kid as well. So hopefully he can get right back out there. But to go through rehab now for the third time, being through cancer battles and shit, like, oh, it's heartbreaking. But all the best. But Carroll, he did come on for Doherty and impressed overall. So scored 65 from just 10 disposals, but helped mostly by kicking a crucial goal to help Carlton win this close come-from-behind game. And having been on Carlton's list for three seasons now and starved of opportunity, he has the season body to adjust to senior level. With 34% CBAs and limited time, he was virtually a full-time midfielder replacement for Doherty. And with Doc unfortunately being ruled out for the remainder of the season, there is an opening in the engine room. Does, however, I think anyway, as a Carlton man, have competition in the untried Jackson Binns, who has been knocking on the door for a while now. Very unlucky. He should have made his debut last year, just absolutely tearing up the VFL next level territory. But I think all Carroll has to do, he's obviously got his foot in the door here. All he has to do is continue his form and he'll make that spot his own. The other worry is he has been sub in three of his seven senior games to date. So a sub could potentially be lingering over his head from here on out and hinder his cash gen potential if you want to choose him in your starting team.
Yeah, agreed. I think I'd also be concerned that he's the one to be subbed out. Like he's been the sub, so it kind of feels like the last in, first out
mentality
there. I mean, I don't know. But again, Jackson Binns waiting in the wings as well. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm not against the pick, probably just not one I'm going to make at this stage. I'd rather correct to him if I need to. He doesn't have his first price rise till round three anyway. So, yeah, one that I can watch and correct to if I need, probably at this stage rather than jumping on to start the season.
Yeah, and just looking through just quickly the Carlton lineup, in terms of guys that could be subbed from the engine room anyway, Cripps, no. Akers, no. Hollands, no. Chera, no. Hewitt, no. Kennedy, potentially, maybe.
Yeah.
But could be pushed forward also. Fogarty, maybe. Maybe Cunningham. Those are like the three players that I can kind of pinpoint it down to for various reasons, because they have been subbed all those guys at different stages over the past couple of years. But, yeah, again, I'd be worried about that the whole time. Which will, you know, stunt his cash gen if it does happen. So
yeah, exactly.
You don't want that.
No.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Agreed. So let's move on to the next game, and it is Gold Coast up against the Tigers. And we'll kick off with none other than Matty Rowell, 571.8K, mid-eligible, and pumped out a 137 Scooper Coach score on the weekend. Came out, put on an absolute clinic against the Tigers with 33 disposals and 26 contested possessions. He attended game-high 25 CBAs and had 463 metres gained.
Didn't he equal the record for clearances in a game?
Oh, I think it was – no, I don't think it was second most.
Second most.
The only reason I remember that, yeah. The only reason I remember that is because the most is Paul Salmon. Like,
I thought
that. Playing for Hawthorn. But anyway. And also sporting some fresh facial hair. Love it.
Don't know about that. Don't know. It looks a bit bum fluffery. It's like he's ripped a couple out from his old dodging down behind. He just like glued them to his face. Like,
I don't know.
Really? Come on, mate. I'd much prefer him to
grow up. He's just trying to grow up, all right?
I'd actually prefer to see him rip up bits of blades of grass and stick that to his face. And then he might be able to actually be like,
just eat it mid-game.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He can stick it to his face, and then mid-game, if he's feeling a little bit peckish, needs a bit of energy from grass, like a cow and goat. There you go. There you go, mate.
A goat.
Exactly.
Beware, though, I will say, with old mate Rowley. He only scored 61 in his preseason matchup against this, the Giants. Had lower time on ground, so potentially managed a bit, and obviously it is a preseason game. So it's hard to know whether you'll get this level of output from week to week. I think there are other options at similar prices, like the next guy on the list that we're going to talk about 30, just under 30K cheaper, who feels a little bit safer, and there's others as well. And at 2% ownership, there's a high risk to that strategy being seen is behind him, as he would be an Uber pod, really, at that price point. So... and at that ownership level. So look, don't hate the pick, but probably just not for me.
No, I agree. Not for me either. But could be a correction potentially. Been in the system now for, what, 5 years now? 4 or 5 years, thereabouts.
Mm.
So he is due. He's around about that age profile. Games played. I mean, he obviously had a fair few injuries in his opening year. So, yeah, wait and see. But I know Abs Magic, the Godfather, is on him. He's his weapon, he's calling him. So let's have a look if he continues on from his round zero form. But this next guy, and it is the man that we dub the running man. And boy, is he back. Tookie Miller, 545.5K, absolute bargain, midfielder. And he punched out a score of 116 points. And we all watched him closely, ever so closely. Us closer than most, Liam, because I think we're in the trees, binoculars out, getting some ultra close view of this man, the running man. And we were wondering, is he going to take back his crown? I don't know if you saw up the tree when they went into the rooms, but that's a whole different story because I couldn't see. But the question was whether or not he's going to take his crown back as the CBA king at the Suns. And that he did with 78%, which was the second most for the Suns behind that man we just spoke of, Matty Rowe. And it was a typical Supercoach game for Took with 116 points from 28 disposals, 6 marks and 4 tackles. And it was enough to confirm the old Took is back. And Dimmer knows how best to use him. Just remove the leash and watch the man run like an old bloody dog, just on a treadmill, like a hamster on a wheel, just continuously. Just incredible is Took the running man, Miller. So he's in my team. Is he in yours, Liam? Or have you considered him?
He's in my side. Lock and load.
Can't go wrong. He is another lock.
Certainly. Absolute value with him. Now on to his teammate, mid-forward. 124 was his score on the weekend. It is none other than stupid, sexy Sam Flanders. 494.2K. So many jumped off him after a lackluster preseason game. But as we've said, a sample size of one game just simply isn't enough to be the judge, jury, and executioner. There's a lot of head cutting off in this episode. So many were jumping back after this game. While starting slowish, he did work his way into the game to score 124 points from 26 disposals, 4 marks and 3 tackles, while only nabbing 56 CBAs behind Rao, Took and Nair and Anderson. So keep in mind his highest in the back part of 2023 when playing as a mid was 52%. So it is right within the range we've seen him play, and should be no cause for concern. And look at what he did in the back half of the season. Like, I think we're just going to see that happen again. So currently in my side, but maybe making way for the likes of Heaney, and I'll look to sideways. Heaney back to Flanders.
Yep. I am considering the same thing, just by dodging. But as you mentioned, the judge, jury, and executioner, people like jumping back onto him. I just had this visual in my head of like someone chopping off his head and then realizing, oh, wait, and just getting some super glue and some duct tape and like duct taping his head back onto his neck. I'm like, there you go, you're right now. And his head just like slowly sliding off. That's the way my mind works. It's very cartoonish. But yeah, I'm very much the same as well. Because I'm keen to have him in my team, but I just can't start him in my team alongside the likes of Tookie Miller and potentially a Tom Green with the three big dogs. I'm grouping, Flanders in with the big dogs, so you better bloody, keep up the reputation. But like all three of those guys in the one bye week kind of spells a bit of danger and, you know, obviously hard to cover. And probably only keen to hold two of those guys into the bye. So I do like that strategy that we spoke of with him. Let's jump into the next Gold Coast player, and it is Alex Sexton. And he's priced at 133.4K as a forward and scored a 73. So that halfback role is looking like it'll make him one of the best forward cash cows on offer. And while he didn't quite back up his preseason match score with a sexy ton of 125, a 73 is more than respectable for a 133K forward and should mean he is safe to have on field as a bit of a playing cash cow. If that's his floor, I think it's safe to say, Liam, we'll be pretty happy, won't we?
Yeah, I'd be pretty happy if 73 is his floor.
Yeah. The score was deflated due to five clangers, but otherwise 21 disposals and eight marks does highlight the Suns' keenness to use him coming out of defence and in switching the ball. And he even, get this, took a kick in on the weekend. Very uncharted territory for the man who was kicking snags back in the day. So funny, these it's a Liam Jones effect. He was kind of like the one man back in the day that you know, paved this path, this yellow brick road. But I think above all we need to say is lock him in. Lock and load. If you haven't got him, what are you doing? Get him in your team.
Get him in. Next guy on the list, Connor Butterick. I don't know how to say his name. Is it Butterick?
Yeah, Butterick.
301.2K, defender eligible, 94 was his Supercoach score. One that some had their eyes on across the preseason. He did make a nice start to 2024 with 94 Supercoach points from 21 disposals, 8 marks, and the one tackle. Also took the second most kick-ins for the Suns, but otherwise was involved in the possession chain out of defense. So following on, though, from two ACLs, can he be trusted at such a high price point with better value potentially elsewhere? I mean, I don't mind the pick. He's shown that he can do it. He's also playing in the same side as both Sexton and Powell. So he's shown that he can do it and will be doing it. It's just whether it's worth it.
It needs a bit of good luck.
Yeah, 301K. It's just, if it was like 200K, I'd say yes. But 301 is just that awkward. If it fails, if he gets injured, you're going to have to find cash to go up, or he's really only going down.
I would much prefer to pay, 85K less for Zach Williams, who I think could match him for average anyway, potentially.
Yeah.
Compared to paying that extra 85K.
That same sort of role.
Same sort of role. Exactly right. So, you know, it's all about looking for value, and I don't think he fits the bill there. And as you said, two ACLs, hopefully doesn't happen again for him. Let's call him Buddha, because he needs to rub his own belly for good luck. So get onto it, Buddha. Let's jump across to the Tigs. And first up, Jaden Short, 551.2K. Defender eligible, of course, scored a whopping 130 points. So the Short of old. Is he back? Maybe, because he was patrolling off halfback and ended up scoring that 130 from 23 disposals, 7 marks, and 4 tackles from a tasty 95% disposal efficiency. Just incredible. Better yet, he took the most kick into the Tigers with 8, which was 4 more than the next best in Rioli. So the question remains, can this be sustained? Is the role pure? And will Uze persist? Are you tempted?
Nah. I think we've seen it happen so often. Like his preseason, he jumps up in the preseason. Again, round zero feels like a preseason game. And is enticed us. I just had a look back at his average. He's never averaged above 100
for the season. Yeah, okay.
So he's, I mean, he's got close, like 98, like 98 last season, 98.6, 98.8, 98.3, 96.6, and then 64 and less. So he's got close to that 100, but just never really hit above the 100. So just kind of assuming that he kind of regresses, not regresses, but sort of he regresses to the mean. So I'd say I mean, potentially giving a bit more free reign in the back line. I don't know.
Is it the case of the Dimmer effect with Dimmer Hardwick no longer there? Because as we know, when under Dimmer's game plan, it wasn't very conducive for high Supercoach scores.
Yeah, that is true.
Are the shackles now off? Could Uze potentially be implementing a game plan that is more conducive to Supercoach scoring and for halfbacks like Short to come good? We won't know, will we, until we actually see the season we're on.
Yeah, I think I'm willing to wait.
Yeah, on Short. I'm the same.
Like, I don't know. I haven't. So how many kick-ins do you take? 8. And sorry, I'm just having a quick.
Whilst you're having a look, he is currently in 3% of teams.
Yeah, it's not
so
worth
he's
it.
A big, big pod. So, I mean, it depends if you like to live dangerously and you like to go against the grain. He's definitely one. But, you know, similar price point to a Sheasel, you know, if you want to kind of be contrarian. But
yeah, so I guess keep in mind that the Suns kicked 14 goals, 15. So, 15, like there's not going to be many sides that kick 15 behinds.
No.
Especially week to week. Yeah, well. And it's Collingwood on the weekend, shots. I think, kicks 16. But just keep that in mind when you're thinking about the kick-ins that you took 8. Like, he's not going to be taking 8 every week then. It's not like he's taking 8 and they kicked 10. And so you're like, okay, he's going to take the majority of them. I mean, it's probably still going to take the majority, but just... It's not going to probably be to that same level. So that's probably created that ceiling to his score, or that increased his score, inflated his score is the word I'm trying to say. So it's something to keep in mind with that. I don't know. I'm just not sold. I think I'd rather pick him up at a higher price when I'm a bit more sure. Like, I think there's better value elsewhere. And I think with my side currently, like looking at it, I've got Williams at D five, and I've got Nick Martin in my midfield waiting to move back. So realistically, I've only got one spot. I mean, I'm banking on the fact that I've only got one spot in my defense left. Is he the one that it's going to be? I don't want to start him and miss out, basically.
Yeah. He's more speculative compared to, obviously, Dacos. He should be D1. Tom Stewart. Hayden Young even. Sheasel's up there as well for me, as he would be with most people. But the other thing with Jaden Short, just a final note on him, and the reasons why we shouldn't go for him, Liam. 8 kick-ins, only 6 were play-ons.
No, not good
only
enough.
6.
Drop
not
him.
Enough, so out of it. Yeah, exactly. So not even...
We shouldn't have been talking about him.
We should have mentioned that
straight
up. He could
score 200 and I would have been like, nah, you can't.
Yeah.
That. One guy that I will, we're not going to talk about him, but just I'm going to reference because I am considering him for my side. It is Will Powell. Scored the 123, looked good on the weekend.
Good shout.
And I think he's been looking good sort of last year as well to an extent. This could be the year that he kind of takes off. So one to consider. Took quite a lot of kick-ins as well. One to consider, but I don't think we'll chat about him too much. He's in like 2% of teams, I think. So
he's in 0% of teams, actually, just had a look.
Is he?
Zero. So could you be tempted, Liam? That is like
I could be tempted.
Of pods.
I actually could be tempted. I can see him being a top 10 defender.
Yep, I don't mind it.
But
don't mind that shout.
It's a ballsy move if you're going to take that.
Mm.
Anyway, let's move on. Sorry, is it me? Yep, Sam Naismith. We're going to talk about him. Surely they don't bring Nank the Tank back and just drop Naismith. Like, surely he has to be eased back into it. I don't know. Before he can start, you know, throwing some elbows around. Watch team sheets, though. Only really needs to play maybe 2 or 3 more games to make, you know, some decent cash at that price if he can score another 90-odd. But if Nank's back sooner rather than later, it may not be worth the risk. It's just something you're going to have to weigh up. Because you do want him to at least make some cash before he makes his way out of the side, potentially.
Apologies if you asked me any questions there, but I was hastily changing over my AirPods because they ran out of battery. The left one ran out of battery halfway through, and then the right one just went boop, 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 boop. And I was like, oh, okay, I can't even hear a word you're saying. So I was like putting on these headphones here, which, mind you, these are low battery as well. So hopefully these don't die, otherwise I'm just out of it. So I'll just be there nodding the whole time. But I don't think you asked me a question, did you?
I was just like the whole time going, Damon, Damon, no.
I was trying
No, no,
to
no. No
read the
questions were
lips.
asked. No
No,
questions
good.
asked. All good.
Yeah, apart from Nank just being an absolute tank and
Yeah.
throwing elbows.
Exactly.
Yeah, but he kind of speaks for himself, doesn't he, Naismith? For me, anyway, I know there's still the ongoing debate. There's other podcasters have been chatting about the merits of, if Nank comes back this week, is there merit in, despite the fact that Naismith's got a 93 in his cycle whenever he plays his second game, if he doesn't play this weekend, oh, sorry, I should say this Thursday against Carlton, people are saying, oh, well, there's more merit in, or just as much merit going for a genuine loophole player, bottom price player, for to save 20K or thereabouts. I think, for me, if Naismith even if he does, isn't picked for this round one game against Carlton, I have the utmost confidence that Nank's going to go down injured again with the type of injury that he's got, which, as I've said, can linger throughout the season for a ruckman who is so dependent upon their leap, bounce, and spring with their feet. Chances are he's going to re-aggravate it or injure it further. And nonetheless, I think even if Nang plays, I think he's going to be eased into it. They can't give him the full ruck time. So whether or not it comes down to, do they keep Ryan in the team or do they drop Ryan and have Naismith and Nank double teaming, both very similar players, old school bulking ruckman up against. It probably comes down to if Carlton bring in Pitney as well, because Pitney is probably well matched for Nank compared to TDK. Do they play half of Naismith, half of Nank, same sort of player, or do they want to mix it up and go with a Nank and a Ryan? Ryan's more like a, athletic ruckman, like a TDK. Nank's like Pitt.
And does Ryan offer more as a forward as well? Like, a bit more forward craft because he's kind of that hybrid option as opposed to a Naismith who's more traditional ruck. Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting call. I think we'll have to watch team sheets and then go from there.
But are you keen? Are you in the camp of starting him, even if
Yeah, oh, he's in my he's
R3?
currently in my side, R3. I don't want to start a loophole ruck.
No, I think it's a waste. We'll like he's shown that he could score 93 as number one ruck, so that's enough for me anyway to be like, okay, well, Nank's out. He's able to average that. He's going to be one of the best cash cows that we'll have on offer, and if he goes up, 50K or thereabouts, and you don't have him, you're going to have to find obviously 50K early on. Amongst all the other, trying to rookie correct all that sort of stuff, you don't want to be having to waste a boost potentially to bring a Naismith into your team early days. That's my opinion anyway. I think we've already been treated to a nice little score. Keep him in your team. He's going to, he's going to play at some stage, even if it's not this coming Thursday. But as you said, we'll wait and see.
Let's wait and see.
Very nice. Well, next up we have Josh Gipkus, and he's priced at 150.7K defender, and he busted out a very nice score of 76. So he impressed during the preseason, did Gipkus, and all but cemented his spot in our sides as a defensive cash cow with a very solid game, as I said, with 76, playing that lockdown interceptor role on Lekosius. Considering Lekosius kicked, what, three goals or thereabouts, did actually really well. But keep in mind, expectation should be lowered. He won't score like this every single week, given the nature of the key position defensive role that he plays. But to score 76 when his fantasy score was 39 just underlines his true value in Richmond's defence and what he can offer. So I think he should be locked and loaded in every single team.
I agree. I agree. Should be locked and loaded 100%. Nothing. I actually have nothing more to say. He's in my side.
Yep, that's
Staying in my
it.
side. No reason to get rid of him. Now let's move on to the last guy, Seth Campbell, 123.9K defender. 70 super coach. 70 was his super coach score. He impressed on debut, scoring 70 points from 9 disposals, 2 marks, 4 tackles, and 2 goals won, rotating forward. But can he keep his spot? Lynch is looking likely to return for round one. And Sonsi could return once his VFL suspension lapses after this round. And we can't, of course, forget Steely Green, who flashed his talent across the preseason as well. So for me, probably lower down the ranks, I'm not going to start him. again, if I feel like we need to, I'll sideways to him later, a correction, rookie correction to him. But I think there's others like a Zach Reed who's got much stronger job security.
Yeah. Sorry, I should mention as well that was my fault in the run sheet. He's a forward. So,
Okay, so he's not competing there. Okay, that
I think
also changes
Cadman.
everything. I mean, Cadman's probably the only one that he does compete with. But you're only really saving what? 5K, 4 and a big K. I just don't have space. I really don't have space to bring him in compared to the others that I think have better job security and better scoring. Not necessarily better scoring potential, but better job security.
Agreed there. Well, let's jump into the next game, the last game. The Giants up against the Pies, and we're going to start with a man that has put himself on the radar last year, and he's going to take his game to the next level. Tom Green, 621.5K, and he busted out a nice score first up of 132 against the reigning premiers. Had the most CBAs for the Giants as well, and looks in ripping form. So I'd expect he'll finish as a top 10 mid at minimum, and looking as though he's going to be well entrenched in the top eight if he continues his form in 2024. So if you can start him, he should be worth it. Though does have the bye, of course, in round three, which will hurt if you're also starting the likes of Flanders, Tuk Miller, and the like, who share the same bye. Has a dream start though, playing North and West Coast in the first two rounds before his bye. So could appreciate in value if he can keep up the high scoring and also on top of that, provide a bit of a VC slash C option, which is a bigger bonus as well. Liam, we've both got him in our teams at the moment, and we think he's going to be well up there. Anything else you need to say to this?
Lock and load, done, move on.
Yeah, I think there's guys there like, I just wish the buy didn't exist. If the buy didn't exist, he should be a lock and load for
Oh, yeah.
everyone.
The buy hurts him
Yeah,
100%.
comes down to structure, but I think you'd rate him above Tuk Miller, above Flanders, almost, wouldn't you?
Yep. I'd if you had to choose between the three, Green's highest, then it's Took, then it's Flanders. I think Took's got value. Tom Green doesn't have any value to him, 621K paying up, but I think you're paying up for a decent scorer, who's gonna be a top 10 mid. At the very least, Miller may not be top 10, but I think there's enough value, and I think he'll score and high enough to be worth it. He's probably top 15 at worst. I'm trying to think who else. Like, there's only really he's probably competing with an LDU, a Butters. I probably put him above both of them as well,
100%.
even with the buy, unless I don't know, unless you've gone real heavy on GWS and Gold Coast players in other positions. But I'd almost be willing to forgo that round and just pick him anyway.
Agree on all counts there.
Let's move on to next guy, Harry Himmelberg, 450.4K defender, and he has scored a 101 on the weekend. So he did impress on the weekend, Thor, as we call him. His score is propped up, though, by five kick-ins that he did take, the second most for the Giants. And it should be noted, much like Short with the Suns, the Pies did kick 16 behinds, something that will not happen most weeks. So this could be an outlier, and the fact that his score's kind of been propped up by that will affect him. Also had 24 disposals at 71% disposal efficiency and took the five marks. Personally, I'm just going to say it, I'm not a massive fan of the pick. He does have a soft draw to start the season in North and the Eagles. But last season, I think we went through it earlier in the preseason, he didn't score well against them at all. So there's no sure thing. It's not like a player like a player that's kind of it's their bunny side, like North, like Merritt, I guess, with North kind of is a bit of a bunny side. So you're kind of expecting he's going to score quite well. Yeah, so I just don't think it's worth it. I mean, you could potentially look to ride him as a bit of a high priced, not a cash cow, but just kind of
They're
take that
playing,
risk.
yeah.
But kind of a playing cash cow. He's going to make a bit of cash. He scored 101. If he can keep turn up another the next 2 weeks, probably maybe increases in price a little bit. Bit of a risky strategy because there's no guarantee that he scores well. It's not like to me a Tom Green where there's a higher chance he's going to score well. So not for me personally. I won't be going there. I think at 450K in my defense, just not going to fit.
Yep, I agree as well. And the other thing is as well, like against those teams, yes, North and the Eagles, they are struggling by and large. They're developing, but he's playing in defense. Mm. How many times are the Eagles and North going to kick the ball inside 50 for him to, you know, they're going to struggle. Like if they get smashed in the midfield by the likes of a Tom Green and Cogs and Kelly, they're not going to get a look in, and they're not going to have a chance to kick it into, you know, into their, you know, North being North or the Eagles not be going to be able to kick it into their forward line, you know, the Giants' defense. And Himmelberg's just going to be sitting there having a cup of tea, I reckon, most of the time, having some bickies, dip it in, watching the ball down the end of the ground, and they're kicking snags. So might be hard for him to bulk up his scoring. And, yeah, not for me either, unfortunately. Let's move on to Aaron Cadman. So he's priced at 127.6K as a forward, and this potential cash cow scored a 55. And it probably makes him worth picking off the back of this, because he does, of course, have good, if not one of the most safest job security across the cash cows on offer. But his scoring potential will be limited as a young key position forward. Use him as a bench rookie more than anything, and he should make you cash, but will likely be a slow burn unless he can have a blinder early, which, unlike Himmelberg, might get a fair bit of service, as we saw.
Particularly against the Eagles. Yeah.
Against the Eagles, yeah, exactly right. North as well, I think their tall defenders, they're lacking. I mean, obviously, they lost Ben Mackay to your mob at the Dons. Yeah. Toby Pink, they've had to rely on him, immature age player, and the likes as well. So he might be in for some sneaky, you know, bags over the next couple of rounds. For me, I think he is someone that you need to have on your bench compared to, who did we speak of earlier? Seth Campbell from the Ticks.
Yeah,
I'd rather have Cadman just due to the fixture and potential scoring and
job security.
Job security and more.
Well, I think you're looking at like Richmond. It's kind of the same thing as what we're talking about with Himmelberg against North and West Coast. Himmelberg's not going to get the ball as much because the ball's not going to be in defense for the Giants against weaker sides. Richmond aren't going to be as strong this year as they probably have been. And so playing as a forward is going to be not as conducive to scoring. I'm not saying they're going to be North and West Coast level of not good, but yeah, just it's going to be less scoring.
Yeah.
Or less positive scoring compared to a Cadman who's playing for most likely a better side.
Mm. Yeah.
So the ball's more likely to be in the forward line. Let's move on to the other side of the field, and it is Nick Dacos, 650K defender, midfielder eligible. 131 was what he scored. And I have not much else to say other than lock and load. Showed us last season why you shouldn't bet against him, and his game on the weekend was more evidence of that. I'm going to say it again, lock and load. He had the most CBAs for the Pies on the weekend. So he shows that he's moved into that midfield role that we all expected and will be conducive to scoring. I'm going to say it again, lock and load, because I want you to do it. Captaincy option week to week. Damon, what are you going to say?
Do I have to say anything or just hold up what I've got in my hand here? The lock. Oh,
thank you. That's all we need.
This is it. Literally, it's already locked. I've already pre-locked it. Like, it's locked. We can't open it. You don't know the combination, because that's how confident I am. This man, get him in your team. Don't worry about the potential tag from Finn, whatever his name is, from the Hawks. Don't worry about the
not even best fire. 22.
Exactly. We spoke of like Nick Dacos as well, like in the, what was it, the Defender episode. Go back and watch it. We're comparing his averages when he was playing in defense compared to when he was playing in the midfield. I think it was around about 118 or thereabouts in defense into the territory of a 121, 122 when he's playing in the midfield. Mm. He's going to take his game to another level yet again. Don't know how that's possible. This bloke's a genius. He's a bloody freak. Get on him. Lock and load.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Well, let's round things out with the last notable player, and it is Charlie Dean. He is of Jesus. You dropped from Nick Dacos all the way down to Charlie Dean. We probably should have ended with Nick Dacos, because that would have been a good way to end it. But let's just cool our jets a little bit. For Charlie Dan.
I'm sure he's going to be a really good player.
Oh, 100%. 123.9K as a defender and scored 55. So the injury-plagued youngster finally made his debut and looked good enough, albeit did struggle to contain the hulking Hogan. You like that, Hulk Hogan? Who kicked four wrestling fans to get that. Likely has a spot in Collingwood's defence whilst Nathan Murphy is out through concussion. We don't even know if he's going to return. However, the return of Howe could also impact his spot in the side and relegate him more to depth if performance does falter. As such, his job security is nowhere near solid. And with the likes of Howes, Gipkus, Reed, and Caulfield, all with better job security and potentially better scoring potential, or thereabouts similar, he is surplus to requirements, I think, anyway, at this stage.
Yep, agreed. I just don't think it's worth, I don't think you need him at this stage. I mean, obviously, we're going to be watching for team sheets, but Reed, Gibicus, Howes, they're all going to be named. Caulfield, I mean, they've said he's going to have his debut, whether that's the sub or on field is another thing. But I think they've all got better job security and scoring potential than Charlie Dean.
Very good. Well, Liam, before we ride off into the sunset and, you know, gallop towards the proper season opener in round one, let's treat the good folk and the good people, as you would say, Liam, those people of the Supercoach Edge community with their first taste of a much-loved segment that is once again making its return in 2024. It has to. We couldn't do it without it. One which might hold them in good stead heading into round one. Liam, say it with me now together as one.
I'm the captain now.
Look at me. I'm the captain now.
Oh, it's back.
I hope you enjoyed that.
It is back. Ah, yes. We weren't very much in time. We kind of got there.
We really weren't.
we started off a bit like Grundy. I was a bit hot, like Gorn. And then you overtook me and I was just playing catch up. But we got there in the end. So it's I'm the captain now, Liam, of course. For those people tuning for the first time, it speaks for itself. We go through the best and hottest VC&C options for the upcoming round. So it's a little bit hard this time around, of course, without proper exposed form for those teams, especially that didn't play in opening round. So it makes it hard to give an accurate assessment on legitimate C/VC options. So we'll need to add more weighting to the fixture at this present time. Also, most aren't running with a VC loophole either, especially those going with Naismith as their R3, which is where we normally put a loophole player. So may only be able to have the one bite of the cherry, if that is the case, given just outright captain. So, Liam, we've pinpointed three names here. Probably no surprise at all, but we'll run through them. Who have we got?
We're going to kick off with Nick Dacos, because that is the first game that he's played of these guys. He faces Sydney, who's only had the two scores against, 81 and 62, but need to keep in mind that the tagger in Clark is no longer there. So will they tag? I mean, I think Horse has said, will we tag? Will we not tag? What are we going to do? Mm. I mean, I don't think they'll tag, but it's a risk. I mean, is it also his bunny side? We don't know. Mm. Not bunny side, but like the opposite of a bunny side. Is it his side that he can't beat, can't score well against? So I don't know. Something to consider, but it's also Nick Dacos, so probably going to come out and score 150.
Yes. Exactly right. Yep. I was thinking, like, is it his bunny side? Is it the Wile E. Coyote versus the Roadrunner? Could never beat the Roadrunner. Anyway, next up we have Tom Green, who plays on Saturday against the Roos. So his previous form, he scored a 77, 117, and a 60. Doesn't have the best history, obviously, but Tom Green, in hot form, going to take his game to the next level. Could be a very, very big day out for the Tom Green.
Yes. And last option we have here, up against the Ds, it is none other than Marcus Bontempelli. He has three scores. His last three scores are 107, 161, and 105. And what more can we say than Bont is Le Bont? Mm. So, yeah, I mean, do you want to bet against him?
Mm. Yeah.
That's hard. It's just hard. It's hard with no exposed form.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we have exposed form for Dacos and Green, but it kind of goes against their historical averages against those teams. But Bont is coming in fresh against a team that's played a week already. Yeah. And also a team that probably has a lot to prove next week. So it's, I don't know.
Yeah, it's guesswork. That's what it is. We don't have the numbers to rely upon. Which
and with no, off, yeah. And like, as you said, I'm not starting a loophole option. So
nope.
At this stage, look, if Naismith is not named, maybe I will be. I don't know. But yeah, no C, VC or C. So it'll be a straight C.
Of those players, if you had to choose right now, I know it's going to be hard, but we're going to have both of us. We're going to have all three of these guys at this stage. Who would you be most confident in?
Probably Bont.
I would say Bont as well, because he killed it against the Hawks. I mean, it is preseason, of course, as well. Yeah. But that's part of the reason why we've got Bont at the starting high starting.
Yes, that's why I'm with him.
Dacos is probably the other one. I'd probably go. Oh, it's so hard, but Bont, Dacos, and Green. I don't know what it is about Green. I'm worried about those numbers. Is North somehow a bunny side for him? I don't know.
Yeah, it's not like they've been. It's not like North's been good and GWS has been shit.
Yeah,
it's not like the roles have reversed. Like I guess like a Sydney for Dacos, both like they've been good. Like the roles haven't changed. Like Collingwood's been good and Sydney's been good while he's been there. So that feels constant. Whereas Green and the same for Green, like it's but it doesn't really explain his lower scores.
No. Strange one.
So I tend to agree. I think it's Bont, Dacos, and then Green for me as well.
Yeah. Very nice. Well, that rounds us out for a quick fire. I'm the captain now. Before we delve into our regular programming as of next week onwards with some new segments potentially and some old ones as well, some old favourites. But Liam, for now, this rounds us out for our analysis of round zero, opening round, shit round, bunny round, all that sort of stuff, Mickey Mouse round. May we never return, exactly. We are running into the sunset on the horseback, donkey back, however which way. Just don't look behind you, because it's kind of like, the scene in action movies where like the hero is like walking away and things are exploding in the background. Yeah. That's literally us walking away from round zero, and hopefully it explodes, never to be seen again, as you mentioned. So I like that. But there were a few takeaways, of course, to help finalise our sides. But it also threw up just a few extra questions as well to leave us potentially back at square one. Done a full 360, Liam, by stretching our heads. So with that, quick segue as we part ways. How's your team coming along?
Yes, it is coming along. You can check out my latest team released video just dropped as we started recording this. There are some, I will reference that I have been some potential changes. So when I recorded it, there was no, update on Parrish yet. So we knew that there was a potential hamstring tightness, but the club hadn't done the scans or hadn't released any information around him, yet. So now we know that he's missing. He's not in my side. Obviously I've moved him on. Jackson's one that I'm considering. Flanders as well is in my side currently. I am considering Heaney, and I will say that Sheasel is potentially skating on thin ice as well in my back line. Not that I'm against him. I think I can pick him up cheaper later, potentially, or at the same price. I don't think he's going to skyrocket out of the realms of me getting him. But Will Powell is currently sitting on my side. So I am going a bit pod there, and then potentially looking, I've got some cash left over, whether I do bring in an English as well, just because I had some FOMO from last year. So
isn't it funny when literally one change can have like a butterfly
effect,
all those changes. So people are probably thinking that's not your final side. Well, it's come off the back of Darcy Parrish no longer being available, and it changes things. It's literally it.
It changed everything, because Darcy Parrish going out meant that I've thrown Jackson for being able to get Jackson forward, which left me some cash, which then made me look at English, which I didn't have enough. So I went Powell, Sheasel, who was already kind of, I was 50-50 on, down to Powell, which gave me enough cash to get English in, just because I was like, oh, let's see what that looks like. I don't know if I'll start English. It's a lot of cash to tie up between him and Bont. Like, what's that, 14? 1.4 mil. So that might change, but we'll see. Just, yeah, I guess referencing that. So there has been changes, and that's what will happen. I'll try and make sure I put up on my Instagram the change that I make, because I feel, not Instagram, on my Twitter, sorry, my changes, because I do feel bad whenever I make changes after releasing a team video. But obviously there is moving parts.
Exactly right. And speaking of moving parts, Liam, guess who's just made their way into my team?
Heaney. Oh, that's the other one. Heaney's also on the potential in list now. I think looking at it, I think I've got some strategy around him with Flanders.
Because I did speak of Amon was in my team, and I was like, oh, I need to switch some things around. And it so happens that Heaney is within the salary cap, leaving me $3,300 in the bank. Just a bit of a sneak peek for my final team reveal, which at this stage, I think it's going to be final. The decisions are final. This is kind of like with a judge jury.
Judge Judy.
The verdicts.
The cases are real.
The cases are real, yeah. The verdicts are
the
final.
The people are real. The verdicts are final.
The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy.
This is the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinland.
You can tell how many times you've watched. I might use that as my intro, actually. That's a really good one. So it's going to be a little Easter egg for those people tuning into this. Tune into my final team reveal. And those people tuning into that, not having seen this, they're going to be like, what the hell is this? And you're going to have a nice little chuckle. And I might try and do a little bit of a meme, put my face over Judge Judy or something. And this is the courtroom of Judge Scheinland. God, Judge Judith. But anyway, Liam. Let us sign off. Where can people find us across our socials?
Yes, on Twitter. Of course, sorry, search us on YouTube. If you're listening to the podcast, look us up on YouTube so you can see our final team reveals as well. On Twitter, you'll find us at supercoach_edge, Damon at DamonJ88, myself at Liam_Evans_95, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all that. Search Supercoach Edge and you'll find us there. Feel free to send us a DM if you've got some questions. Join the Discord if... is there a free Discord as well?
There is indeed. We'll put the link down in the comment section on YouTube. Otherwise, have a look on our X Twitter. We'll whack it up on there and Facebook as well. Otherwise, yeah, jump onto YouTube, check out the comment section for this video and click on the link. Free to join. And discussion is bubbling along quite nicely within our Discord community. So thank you to those people joining and creating some discussion.
And that's it, I think.
That is it. Probably should sign off as well. Below, we'll have in the comments section the link to our public group as well. If you haven't joined yet, we will be giving out a Supercoach Edge Championship ring from the good folk at Championship Rings. Our total entries at this point in time is 481. Let's get it up there past 500 and get yourself in the running for a ring. And that's it, Len. That is us. We are done for the round zero recap as we look forward towards round one. And as you said, if there's any changes, we'll whack it up on our socials, all that sort of stuff. But hopefully this is it. I'm done. Decisions are final.
Judge Judy.
Judge Judith Shine.
Judge Judy. You Judge Judy'd your side.
I have. I've got the what's it called? The mace?
The gavel.
The gavel. I should know this. I bloody studied legal studies for quite a few years. I wanted to be a Judge Judith, but I wasn't to be.
Judge Judith.
I wanted to dress up in robes and the garbs and the old...
And sit in a TV courtroom.
Exactly right. Where the decisions are final, mind you.
Yes. But... unlike all other courtrooms. Exactly right.
It makes so much sense you saying that and no sense listening back to it. Anyway, Liam, that's us. We will reconvene at the conclusion of round one. All the very best to those of you.
Good luck.
Constructing your sides. As we said, hit us up if you need any help, any pointers, all that sort of stuff. But until then, Liam, I shall see you on the other side. I bid you a farewell and the Supercoach Edge community a farewell. Until next time, we'll see you then. Thanks for tuning in.
See you guys. Good luck.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.